The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
Beyond.
Beyond. Welcome, everybody, to Beyond, episode 494. My goodness, that is a lot of numbers. My name is Max Scoville, and I'm joined by Brian Altano.
Hey, baby cakes.
Hey, there's that name again. And Marty Sleva.
I don't like this old baby cakes thing.
It was very sexy last week. This time around, I don't know if I'm feeling it. Anyway, we've got a great show lined up for you today. We are going to talk a little bit about Far Cry 5, what we can. Spider-Man is going to be playing baby Nathan Drake in the Uncharted film. And speaking of video game movies, which are always and always will be sort of a terrible idea, the Resident Evil movie franchise is getting a 6-movie reboot. What could possibly go wrong? Let's start things out. Let's talk a little bit about Far Cry.
Can we talk about breaking news?
Time for the breaking news. That's how it goes.
Right, before we started recording, all of a sudden, Rockstar, the developers of games like Manhunt and State of Emergency, sent out a press release saying that Red Dead Redemption 2 is now coming spring 2018.
Big delay.
Yeah, they are very apologetic. They said, "We're very sorry for any disappointment this delay causes, but we are firm believers in delivering a game when it is ready. We're really excited to bring you more details about the game this summer. In the meantime, please enjoy these new screenshots." And there's a cowboy, and there's Forrest, and there's another cowboy,
right?
And there's guns.
Well, that's kind of nice. I like that they're not just like, here's a disappointing thing. Here's some cool pictures of cowboys to go with it.
So when they say this summer, I'm imagining another trailer, tone piece type thing. I mean, I don't think they'll be at E3.
So that's the big thing. It's like Rockstar generally doesn't go to E3. We know that they're aligned with Sony on this game, so if they would be at E3, they would probably maybe a trailer at the Sony conference. But yeah, later this summer, it feels like if it would have been E3, they would have said E3. But later this summer, I think
Rockstar control the message.
Yeah, and they go to the beat of their own drums, so we'll wake up one morning and there'll be a trailer.
The good thing is it gets the bad news out of the way. And if they are at E3, which I still don't suspect, but say there's a 1 in 100 chance that happens, that trailer that they run won't end with spring 2018.
And everyone will be like,
wait a minute.
This is
kind of relieving in a way, I was just saying, because this is the kind of game that I will, like, I'll put it this way. I put 110 hours into Breath of the Wild in the spring. Spring's kind of nice for a game like this.
Yeah.
Like, holiday season, different story. It's going to be going up against a bunch of other stuff, and this will give it sort of a couple of months to just chill on its own.
GTA 4 released in that window. I think it was like April, May, I remember playing in college. And I'm totally fine. This also wasn't really surprising. You know, when they had that trailer in October or November, and they were like, it's coming fall 2017. I was like, I don't think it is.
What I do like about them is that they're not beating us over the head with new trailers and new gameplay and stuff. The fact that it's like, hey, this is a little bit longer than you were expecting, but you still don't really know what this game is.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
We had that one tone piece that was really pretty.
Right. Yeah. Technically, this is the first time this game's been delayed.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird thinking about it that way, because it's we waited years and years for it, so it felt like it kept getting delayed. But we've only known about this game for a few months.
Yeah.
And now we know we're not going to be playing it for a while. So,
which is sort of fine, because like this fall just continues to get busier and busier with Battlefront and Destiny and Call of Duty and possibly Far Cry, Mario.
Conversations changed, I think, just now. I mean, that was a major, major contender for sure. I don't think there was any universe in which these guys would have shipped a game that we would not have put, you know, in one of our top five games.
Yeah.
They make incredible games. On that note, Far Cry 5, you mentioned that. So we got a bunch of sort of more tone pieces, not even really trailers exactly, yeah. showing off that this is set in Hope Valley, Montana.
Valley, Montana. Yeah. yeah.
And what else do we know?
So that's – okay. So this is like a weird thing.
What can we say?
Yeah. So we can say more next week.
So there's going to be a big reveal, a big proper trailer that's happening, I believe, 6 a.m. Eastern on Friday. Yeah. We are recording this at 1 o'clock on Monday. Last Friday, we got a chance to go take a look at kind of a behind-closed-doors presentation. And they
did not play it.
We did not play it. Yeah. I would say we really even barely saw any of the actual game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was very bite size. But that said, it's interesting because it's a series that's typically about going to exotic locations where things are crazy. And in this case, it's Montana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, what we can surmise from what you guys have seen or what we've all been shared with by Ubisoft this morning. These four teasers sort of set the setting and don't really teach us much in the way of character. Our guess is that it's present day. It feels pretty close to that. There is signs of decay or things being awry. I don't know. Like, I saw some comments being like zombies. I don't get that at all.
No.
There's that one shot in the beginning where you see this like kind of river flowing by and there's a dead body in it, which I thought
could be
really
sleeping. Could also just be someone.
A good creek nap.
It's one of the big pastimes in Montana is a sleepy time river cruise.
It's a fun stream prank where you fake your own death and just float by.
I think the good thing these teaser pieces did was, a lot of people, when they hear Montana, it's like, I don't know what comes to their mind. Like, they're like, is it just flat? Just big flat nothing, like wheat fields, or like, because Montana doesn't really have an identity in terms of pop culture. Like most states, you could be like, oh, it's like you don't have to have gone to New York City to know what New York City is.
Montana Max from the Tiny Toon Adventures.
That's who you're playing as in this game. Yeah, he's actually the villain. It's first Voss, then Pagan Min.
You know, you joke, but I would totally play like an M-rated adult Tiny Toon Far Cry game.
Yeah. Oh God,
there's like Tasmanian devils running around, and
I know one thing, Brian, you're a little worried about is like we said, Far Cry goes to the exotic places. It goes to Africa. It goes to these islands. It goes to the Himalayas. It goes to way back in dinosaur times. I guess it was post dinosaur times. Montana.
Called the dinosaur times last week, and some people were not happy about that.
The old DTs?
The Mesolithic.
But, like, they all had all these strange animals you could ride, elephants, and there were saber-toothed tigers and stuff. So those things don't really exist in Montana?
Yeah, so I think it's the idea that the franchise so far has been defined by, like, a few core tenets, and one of them is crazy, insane animals. Yeah. Another has become riding those crazy, insane animals. And then a third, sort of vehicular combat and destruction. Now, vehicular combat folded into riding insane animals in Primal, but in the rest of them, you know, you got a bunch of helicopters and you got cars and tanks and stuff you could blow up.
I love that they're, like, from kind of three, I guess two onward, like, the driving is just wonky.
Yeah.
It's silly driving.
Yeah, it's purposeful.
They're funny cars and it's okay.
The cars are completely disposable.
Yeah, your car gets sick and you have to go heal it. And
But there are Montana does have, you know, they have bears and they have like horses and like elk.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mooses.
I don't know what they're going to do with that.
I'm hoping the game centers around a zoo.
That'd be kind of cool.
That narratively just gives you a free pass. We got everything.
Yeah.
What if it was a time zoo, too, and all the old animals would come out, such as the dinosaur?
Why
did you even respond to that man?
No,
like,
because we were talking about the identity of Montana. One of the big identities of Montana is that there were hundreds and hundreds of dinosaurs buried beneath it.
Yeah.
People have been pulling...
Oh, that's true, yeah.
People have been pulling dinosaur skeletons out of that old floor for a long time now.
The old Montana floor?
You never know. So I don't think we'll see anything like that in this game, but I do think that there's room for that in the future.
Yeah.
Or the past. The future of this game where they go to the past.
Yeah, so we will have obviously more coverage of this as it becomes more clear what's going on.
One of the points I put down here was like, what does this feel like going head-to-head against Red Dead, two Western-ish games in the fall?
Not an issue.
Solve that problem.
We're assuming this is the fall. I don't think we know when Far Cry's coming out yet.
We don't.
Yeah, and that's not even we're being coy. Like, we don't know if it's fall or... Yeah,
my guess was fall because... No, we straight up don't know, but the sort of announcement to release cycle to Far Cry games has historically
been smaller.
Prehistorically been pretty tight.
Yeah.
I think every Let's see. Blood Dragon and Primal came out sort of springtime.
Spring,
they were like March, April.
The other ones were fall releases.
And everything else was, everything else is holidays.
Yeah, so. I mean, my gut says, assuming Assassin's Creed Egypt or whatever it is gets announced at E3, that one of these two games is going to be a fall game and the other one is going to be a spring game.
Okay, think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Although, I guess with Red Dead moving, like, the fall's a little less busy.
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the thing. Like, a lot of people who love video games saw this news today about Red Dead, and they're like, oh, damn it. But publishers are like, yes! Oh, my God, the game that'll top NPD for the next 3.5 years got out of the way for 6 months.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can imagine, like, EA and Activision. I mean, imagine EA and Activision, even Ubisoft, are like breathing a collective sigh of relief of like, all right, this gives our games room to breathe in the fall.
I mean, Activision has Call of Duty, which everybody and historically has Destiny, gotten out of the way of, and Destiny as well. And so now that they can kind of just focus on their own portfolio. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We'll see. I have a hunch this will be a fall game, but we've seen, when did we see Primal? Was that spring?
Yeah, it was spring
game, right?
Yeah.
But we've also seen Ubisoft, and we said in the past in the show, be like, hey, here's all of our games. They're out on the same day.
Well, and they also just randomly were like, oh, yeah, South Park, by the way, is out, I think, October 19th.
Yeah.
They just, like, randomly released a press release.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
So that's... At least they have that game in the fall.
Right. So, yeah, I wonder where that fits with Assassin's Creed and Far Cry.
Yeah.
Huh.
I can't help but feel that at this point they just want to get it out there. They just want to like
I don't. We don't want to work with Matt Trey.
Which one? South Park.
Yeah,
yeah. Because I mean, that's reaching that point that I feel like
oversaturation.
Watch Dogs had they can announce something, and at this point, it's like it's I just glaze over, and I'm like, and it's not that I don't care about that game. It's that I just like let me know when it's out. Wake me up.
I agree, but I also think that South Park has the strategic advantage of they can always time the launch of that game to a new season, whereas Watch Dogs is kind of like, dude, we've been reading about this game for 4 years.
Right.
The graphics in South Park are not getting any better or any worse.
They are what they
are. They could drop an episode this fall about like Trump's butthole, and it'll go viral.
Yeah.
And then the next day they'll be like, our game's out, and you'll go buy it because you're excited about Trump's butthole.
Yeah. What's
their style?
Is that what that orb was?
Am I the only one that's ever seen South Park?
I'm not allowed to watch it. I don't see anything that's TVMA.
I've seen the first 44 presidential buttholes, but I'm not caught up on 45.
Beautiful.
Also, South Park is sort of like a singular-ish game this fall. Like, there's really nothing in common. Like, the big JRPG of the year was Persona, and that already got out of the way. So, like, South Park doesn't really have a ton of analogs.
It's not really an RPG.
More tactical.
Yeah, South Park's also... It's South Park. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's unlike anything else.
And then the other final bit of Ubisoft news, after the earnings call, Jonathan reached out to them, was like, hey, what's going on with the Avatar game that Massive's working on, the Division developer? And they're like, oh, it won't be out before 2020.
They're working on it. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot we even mentioned anything about that. Why would we bring that up?
So if you're an Avatar fan outside of Max, there's one of you out there.
Hello, I love Avatar.
That franchise that was supposed to have this like sort of massive, reintroduction around this time in next year and the year after went from being a bunch of new movies, a bunch of new video games, and theme park rides to just a cafeteria at a theme park. So if you love Avatar, go get those weird, like, I don't know,
blue
tiger waffles or whatever or something.
Get on down to Pongu Pongu and get yourself, you can make a Navi doll of yourself made using that.
Get some Jell-O, get Jell-O tail tangles. That's how they kiss in that movie.
Enjoy a nice bioluminescent ale.
Use your hair to have sex with your wife.
If you can name a character from that film, they'll give you $5.
Anyway, speaking of movies that take forever to exist, let's talk about the Uncharted movie. I don't want to. I think it's a bad idea for a movie, and I think so do a lot of other people, but they keep sort of trucking this thing out and being like, hey, remember that movie that Seth Rogen and friends were made? Well, actually, it's actually Joe Carnahan from the... Actually, no, it's no, not
it was him. David O. Russell. No.
It's currently, Sean Levy, who worked on...
I did at the museum, I believe.
He did, and he did some of Stranger Things.
But at least Bruce Straley and Neil Druckmann are directly connected to this film, right? They're just writing the script every single day, right, Max? Right?
Yes, but because of very complicated Hollywood laws, they have to wear clever disguises and go by different names when they work on the movie.
Yeah.
And then
they
have to pretend that they don't even like it.
They've definitely made it known that they have nothing to do with
it. No involvement whatsoever.
Good. Creating sort of a cross-media rap.
But there is one bit of good news. I don't know. I think
the big news here is that Tom Holland, who is playing Spider-Man in Spider-Man Homecoming and was in Civil War, is going to be playing young Nathan Drake.
I am I agree. This movie doesn't need to exist. But if it does exist, I think this is a smart way to take it. Honestly, I think this is telling a story that isn't one of the stories from the games.
Yes. Okay. So I'll put it this way. Tom Holland's awesome from what we've seen of him so far.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see Spider-Man, obviously, to see like how he carries a 2-hour film
by himself
at this level of goofiness.
Right.
What it seems they're doing here is they're strategically positioning this franchise to start around the sort of young years.
Yeah.
We don't know if there's going to be a, you know, middle-aged Drake they cut to in this movie. My guess is that this will just focus on the young stuff and that they'll grow from there. Like, I think if you look at, like, Indiana Jones, they started him in his 30s and then they cut back to young Indy and now they're making one where he's 90 and it's weird, right? But what if he had just started with young Indy? Maybe there wouldn't even be a franchise to be Who knows, right? I mean, it's tough. It's tough to
that's a really good point, because that does that. First of all, that separates it from just being, hey, it's like a modern day Indiana Jones where the Nazis are exploding mummies, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it also separates it from, like, it makes it a little bit more interesting to be like, oh, it's a young adventurer. That's cool. It also is separate enough from what you think of when you think of Uncharted that you're not like, they screwed it up. It's like, no, they made something new and different. That said, at what point does going a new, interesting novel direction just completely forget that you're adapting something to begin with? Like if you took the Uncharted name off of this and you were like, yeah, Tom Holland is playing an adventurer, and he went and saw that movie, and if they didn't
would
call
you see that movie?
Would you know it was exactly?
I mean, would we be talking about it? Would
no,
anybody?
We wouldn't.
I think that's the catch, right? Like, you attach it to a franchise that people know about, and they're like, I guess I'll go see it.
Yeah, it just seems kind of sloppy.
It does. It does.
Yeah, apparently, it does. Sony executive Tom Rothman basically saw Homecoming and was like, "He's the one. He's Nathan Drake. Let's get him in there." Because I guess he saw dollar signs, or he's just Tom Holland's a good kid or whatever.
So
you know?
we've seen young Nathan Drake in Uncharted 3, and we saw it again in Uncharted 4 in a much longer sequence, which I thought was really well done. And we actually, the Uncharted 4 stuff was cool because you got to see that cut back to the time period a couple times. Whereas in 3, it's really just that, you know, one major section, that small heist. He is younger. Nathan Drake is younger in that game, in that section.
Than Tom Holland.
And Tom Holland is now.
Tom Holland's 20?
20.
Okay.
And Tom Holland could probably play a younger kid.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's playing a high school. He's playing Peter Parker. Yeah.
But not like a 12-year-old or 13-year-old.
Sure, sure.
I have to go back and check how old he is in Uncharted 3.
Yeah.
So he's somewhere between like the kid version we saw in that game and the adult version we see in All the Things Now.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to sort of start, if you start that at age 20, like, is he in high school? Like, or he's 20, he plays a high schooler?
I don't know. I think it could be interesting if this movie's about, like, him learning the ropes from Sully.
Yeah.
Like, and you could have a Sully who isn't, like, grizzled and out of shape. This could be a, like, 40-year-old Sully.
Do you think they'll bring his brother into it?
Maybe. Like, again, I don't know if they're, like, I feel like when this movie was in development, there was no brother.
Well,
like,
when Uncharted was in development, there was no brother. Uncharted 4 was the first time they were like, long lost brother. Yeah, here,
like,
he is.
How come we haven't talked about that at all?
Exactly.
Real weird. I'm sick of hearing about the Uncharted movie. We've been talking about it for, like, almost a decade now.
Yeah.
It's just, and it's like, all right, I mean, make something new. I don't know.
This is the kind of thing where, like, when we see a teaser for it, I'll believe it's real.
Yeah. And
until then,
I think almost no matter what it is, it's going to sort of disappoint just on the basis that we've been going back and forth about what it could be for so long.
We've seen it get this close before, right?
Oh, yeah. David O. Russell with Mark Wahlberg.
We've seen it get this close.
They've entirely scrapped the script, apparently.
Sure.
They just took Joe Carnahan's thing and they're like, we don't like it anymore. Get out of here. And they threw it out the window.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would have been weird if they just used Joe Carnahan's script where he's like a middle-aged dude, but he's like 20. And
that sounds like something I'd see.
He's got he's dating Elena. She's like 15 years older than him.
He's so funny. It'd be like a weird, like, and it's just, yeah.
She's like, why don't you ever pay attention to me? And he's like, I'm 20.
But he acts, I just want to see him acting like a 45-year-old dude.
Is he going to, like, be just gunning a bunch of people down? He seems like a little babby, maybe, to be killing people.
It's probably going
to
be like in the Ninja Turtles movies where he's always going to be shooting, like, chandeliers and stuff.
Yeah.
And he's going to shoot, like, a rope and a bunch of wine barrels.
Yeah, or like, what's the other one? Spider-Man. Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of video game movies,
why do we have to talk about this?
It's worth mentioning. Resident Evil, that beloved Paul W.S. Anderson film series, is getting a reboot. as six movies. I don't know why. Like, I don't know what they're like.
I don't care.
Say. I don't know. Meanwhile, Paul W.S. Anderson is working on a Monster Hunter movie.
Stop it. Why? What is he doing?
I don't know, man.
That's... Also, it's ingenious that he just casts his wife in these movies, and so they both get paychecks for the same thing, and they get to travel to, like,
prizes?
The Sudan or wherever those movies are filmed.
Whatever green screen.
She gets exotic. Fetching new corset.
That being said, I want this movie to take place in like the weird house from Resident Evil 7.
Yeah, it's kind of totally what I wanted to ask. Like, does that make sense to do now? Like, do you kind of build up to the Umbrella?
I see those moss men.
Well, how about this? Like, when these movies started, they were like. They were the movies you would want to pay to see in a theater, or at least we thought they would be for a little while, and they immediately not were anymore. but like the sixth or seventh one, you're like, you're putting this in theaters, but you really shouldn't. Yeah. You should just put it direct to Crackle.
Yeah, no, the first
I just think of the same thing. Poor Crackle.
This is a different story. So I think like if the rising tide raises all ships here, and we got a new Resident Evil game that was awesome this year that I loved, right? Until the end. Which
Westward was kind of a bummer.
But like if this means more Resident Evil games, I'm totally down with that. And that game sold well enough to, I think, you know, justify sequels.
I think they said Capcom's predicting that when all said and done, it'll move 10 million copies, which is
awesome.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's incredible. I'm happy about that because it was like they took a huge risk, they shook things up, and they tried something new, and it's rewarding.
It worked.
Like, but yeah, it's also crazy to think like, you know, oh, a Resident Evil movie, and it's like the movies have gone off and done their own thing entirely.
Yeah.
But the first one came out, what, like 2001 or so?
Yeah.
When like RE4 hadn't even come out, and that completely changed the whole setup.
Slipknot had a song in the soundtrack.
Yeah,
sure did.
Yeah.
There's a scene in that movie that ended up in the game, basically
with the lasers.
With the lasers in that hallway.
Oh yeah,
they took that and put it in the game. Like Leon does backflips through it. It's really weird because it's one of the only times I think the Resident Evil movies have directly inspired the games in some way, and not the other way around.
So weird.
I'm sure the people that really love those films are telling me I'm wrong right now. Yeah. But
you know what's insane is I think Paul W.S. Anderson has directed six or seven Resident Evil movies. If he's going to direct six more. He'll directed 12, 13 movies in the same series.
I don't think he's attached to this. I think they want to get somebody else.
Ooh, Paul Thomas Anderson.
That would be amazing. I want that so much.
I do too.
Yeah.
I don't think you can legally,
family's not a word. It's a sentence.
I don't think you can direct 13 movies in the same franchise unless you're the guy that did Land Before Time.
Yeah.
How many other times have been 13 movies?
I don't think the same man directed those.
Yeah, it was one man.
He hand drew all.
He drew all the films himself.
Yeah. Stop talking.
Yeah, he named his firstborn Littlefoot.
Drew all these dinosaurs.
Please stop.
Why are we talking about goddamn
actress
movies?
Land Before Time.
Did you know the actress who voiced Ducky was murdered by her father?
What?
Yeah, after the first movie.
I don't want them to
talk about
this.
She was.
Why are you laughing? Why did you say that?
Because the audience deserves to know.
These people, they don't deserve to know that.
This is a PlayStation podcast. You can't talk about the Land Before Time.
I'm talking about murders.
You can't talk about murders either. They're illegal.
you can talk about illegal things.
This is horrible. Get us out of here.
All right, fine. We got the big, huge Destiny 2 announcement thing, the big reveal of that. We don't know anything about Destiny.
Yeah.
So there's an entire other podcast called Fireteam Chat. So go check that one out. In other news, Lawbreakers, the Cliff Bleszinski boss key fight. What is it called?
Boss key.
Yeah. Bossa Nova. It's coming to PS4. Yeah. I'm curious about this. This is like, it's kind of an odd landscape for... It's what, $30, I think, and it was
which is smart price,
free to play on PC. It's interesting because they leaned really hard into this being like a PC arena shooter when it first launched, and then to be like, oh hey, just kidding, you can also use a controller. Is like, I mean, I don't think they ever said they weren't going to bring it to consoles.
Sure. I mean, I think they saw the success of Overwatch on consoles.
Yeah,
like, we should probably do this.
And I'm curious to see how it, how it does. Like, it's. I mean, it's interesting. We've got, you know, there's Overwatch and there's Paragon and there's...
Paragon's trucking along pretty well. Like, it seems to have a pretty good following. Battleborn is...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that one's a thing anymore.
There
was, there was a... Somebody on Reddit put together the number of players concurrently playing it, like, 3 months ago. And it was basically, like, -5. It was dead in the water. So I can't even imagine now.
Yeah.
That was a crowded landscape for that now. But a lot of stuff is sort of cleared out of the way. Maybe there's room for this one.
I mean, I can't imagine what gets people, like, attracted to games like this. Because you're not just like, oh, I'm going to buy the game and I'm going to play it and then I'm going to go home. It's like you are investing a ton of time. Like, this is kind of, you know, it's a vaguely, I feel like, MMO-like kind of...
player.
Well, that's exactly it, right? You just answered your own question. Like, yeah, for that, I think it's somebody can be like, well, do I buy 15 single-player games this year? Or do I buy this one game for $30 that I become a god at? And yeah, I completely fall in love with all the characters. I master them. I level them up. I get amazing at it.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, how do they get the Overwatch audience, you know? Because that's like a hardcore fan base. And, you know, they're people who kind of, they find the thing they like. And, you know, maybe they're...
Yeah, I think with the Overwatch crowd, it's interesting because we haven't really seen anything on consoles on that level before.
Sure, yeah.
And now everyone is trying to do it again, but it might be one of those things where it just doesn't happen for a while. Like, yeah, Overwatch just might be that thing. And I think when people look to consoles and they're like, I want this really cool, badass hero shooter, I'll just play Overwatch. So, yeah. But then again, they knew going into this, like, Lawbreakers was not designed in a vacuum. Like, they knew Overwatch existed. So that's obviously one of the problems they're going to have to solve for. And they're going to have to really, like, in the same way any fighting game has to sell itself, mm-hmm, they're going to have to really get out there and be like, these are why our heroes are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, this is why you want to play with this person. So,
yeah, they put out, like, a really gorgeous, like, cinematic trailer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you do, like, get that, like, original, like, oh, from the creator of Gears of War. Yeah. And so that, like, will perk up people's ears and be like, yeah, oh, I wonder what he's been up to for the last few years. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy. So we played a new game.
I don't like the name of this game.
It's a great game. We played it. Brian and I both played it. It's called Dick Wild.
Dick Wild.
Played Dick Wild.
Wild with a D, like Oscar Wilde.
Yes. It's Wild or Olivia Wilde. Yes. Dick Wild.
I like
Wild.
Her. Yeah.
So it's a game.
Dick with a dick.
It's a game about hunting animals.
Yes.
It's really more about self-defense and within nature.
Most notably, this is the second game that that support the VR aim controller that you can play right now.
Oh, yeah.
So if you bought Farpoint last week, which apparently was number two on the UK sales charts for the week, which
really?
Is really surprising.
Not surprising. Yeah.
It's an $80 package, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever they call it there.
I guess, yeah.
Funny money.
All right.
You know what it is.
Yeah.
How we do.
Dollars or package?
What are they? Euros?
Pounds?
Pounds. Pounds. Yeah, you know what's up. We got pounds here. They're on our bodies. American mother.
What is wrong with you? Let's talk about the Richard.
Right, so Dick Wild. Yeah.
It's super arcadey. Basically, it's again PSVR. If we didn't make that clear, you play as this man named Dick Wild who lives out in the Glades, mm-hmm, and he's like this animal mercenary. And you keep getting these calls where they're like, Dick, we got problems. There's all kinds of puffins and flamingos and crocodiles doing nasty things. And then you're like, you select your weapon of choice, and there are all these like wonderful kind of like Rube Goldberg, like there's like a grenade launcher that shoots like PBR cans, and it's all like kind of cell shaded and cartoony looking, and I really dig it. You get this like this kind of home office base where it's sort of the menu screen. And you can just shoot everything in the room.
Yeah,
like,
it was really fun
everywhere. And like,
it's a $20 game, and it's just it feels like having an arcade cabinet at home.
Yeah,
like, it's really cool.
And there's a party mode where you can like swap the headset with people and just see who gets the high score. As far as the game goes, it's pretty simple. You're just shooting animals. Mm-hmm. Like there's crocodiles coming at you, and there's seagulls flying overhead, and certain animals will like just come close to you and then just like lunge at you. Other ones will like. Like the birds will like defecate in your eyes.
Yeah, they'll poop in your face.
Yeah.
And then there's these fish that throw up on you.
I don't like to throw up fish one bit.
And when it hits you, there's this sort of like ink look like in Mario Kart 8.
Yeah. Oh, where you get splished.
Your eyes get all over your covered face. In feces and
then there's all these alligators and sharks are coming at you and you're just covered in like puke and poop and you're just and firing everywhere.
You gotta move your head to dodge the fluids. But it's super goofy. I love that it's just it's kind of gruesome. Like there's just bloody chunks everywhere, and you try to shoot this golden carp repeatedly, like it's some Bless Me Ultima reference.
And like in terms of controls, like again, like this VR aim controller is awesome.
Yeah,
like it's really really good for this game. I didn't get to test it out with just regular move controllers because why would I bother at this point?
Yeah.
But with the VR aim controller, all of the guns. Once again, the VR aim controller doesn't look like a gun. It looks stupid when you see it. It looks like some weird sex thing or like a pool handle or something like that. But when you're holding it in the game, they make it look like all the guns in the game, and all the guns feel like some sort of like kit bash Nerf gun.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Like it's like a Nerf gun that somebody taped a bunch of like rocket launchers to.
Like you can be like, cool. And like the two modes is kind of a nice setup. I think the idea is basically each gun has like a long range and a short range, and you're trying to like juggle it. The one downside of this game is that I feel like it's a little bit too hard to be
hard.
Like, engaging. It's very difficult. It's all score based, and it's got like leaderboards and everything. But, like, it just kicks your ass. Like, there's basically the fish will get you. And at the end of every round, you can either get, like, a health boost or, like, mines or
like a turret or something. Turret.
Yeah.
You get, like, a perk between several. Yeah. If you survive to the end of a level and don't get attacked by poop and puke and fish.
And the fish bite you.
Yeah. Then you can be, like, all right, if you have full health, you don't touch the health, but you get, like, a rocket launcher turret. That's just, like, shooting at sharks while you're shooting.
Fireworks,
And actually, I really like the setting of this game in terms of VR because you're basically sitting on this crappy looking raft in this big cell shaded like lagoon, depending on the level you pick. Sometimes there's giant mountains and you're just looking out over this lake like this drunk redneck guy holding a gun. And there's like all these animals coming at you.
Horrible animals.
And you're just shooting at them.
So I actually, it's funny is I was playing in kind of the basic normal mode and it's, you know, it's challenging. I'd get like five waves in and then I'd die and I'd be like, all right, well, I'll try that again and see if I get a higher score. I was like, let me see. And there's like three areas. There's the super duper difficult area. And I was like, let me see how this goes. And I go in there and it's just insane. There's Loch Ness monsters and there's like creatures from the Black Lagoon just like throwing feces at you. And it's all very dumb and gross. And I kind of love it for that. I wish that it was more... I guess easier just so I could spend more time with it. You know, it just pushes back just a tiny bit too hard, almost in the way that if it was an arcade game, like it's arcade difficulty.
Sure.
In that you're
meant to lose so you can get more money out of
it. Wants your coins.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was all right. I also played around with Farpoint. We had a few people asking about that in the Podcast Beyond Facebook group. Jim Demetrius says, want to hear Max's thoughts on the Farpoint experience? Well, I am a huge baby, and I am scared of spiders, and spiders are scary in virtual reality. So I decided to not play more of that game.
You're definitely not the first person I've heard say that.
This is actually you, Alana, has said this, Ryan McCaffrey has said this. What did you think? I'll put it this way. Like, how did you think you were going to handle this game going in? Because you knew it was about spiders, right?
It was about spiders. I don't know. I didn't know. Like, that's the thing is I'd be okay fighting a big spider. Like,
it gets there.
I know. But little ones just jumping at you, like the size of a little dog or something.
Sort of like facehuggers, kind of?
Yeah, about that size. It's arachnophobia. That's the thing, though, is if there's a spider in my bathroom, I'll kill it. It's fine.
If you do that, it actually emits an odor and other spiders.
A lot of horny, turned-on bachelor spiders show up.
That's kind
of
true.
Bring little spider bouquets.
Is that real?
You kill a spider, all the other spiders are like, I smell a dead spider. Let's go check this.
But no, I mean, I find that I'm actually probably more functional with real spiders. But when there's spiders on like pictures on the internet or in a video game, I just get like a little bit.
Yeah,
and in VR, it's just way too much.
Sure.
And it's kind of like I feel like I'm like, am I being like a huge wuss here? And then it's just sort of, I mean, I am, but it's also, it's more like I don't want to do this. It's not fun.
Yeah,
like I'm having a physical like I'm repulsed. I don't want to have these fake animals jumping at me.
So do you think if they had a different animal, if it was grasshoppers or something, would be okay?
Maybe. I don't really grasshoppers.
Or like, what if they're robots?
If they're robots, it'd be fine. I think it was an odd choice to be, and it's not a game that's leaning into horror by any means. They're not like, oh, it's Farpoint, the scariest experience.
Yeah,
really.
It's pretty vanilla in there, and I think they kind of picked the wrong animal to have in there because people do have that reaction.
Yeah, like a handful of people in this office, a small sample size, are alienated.
Yeah, and it's also odd. I would almost expect, and it's an M-rated game that they're bundling with their controller, which seems sort of odd. I'd almost expect something more like Dick Wild. Something that's cartoony.
Dick Wild is fun for the whole family.
Yeah.
It's a little too hard. That Dick's a little too hard.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh. Hey. Yeah, I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
Josh Brandt says, is the AIM controller in Farpoint worth picking up?
Yeah.
At this point?
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. So I think that, like, I mean, it's the kind of thing, like, if you're interested in this, I don't think this is something that, like, you would have to go out and get if you just like PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a PSVR and you're interested in Farpoint, I think it's worth picking up. I think with something like Dick Wild, if we get a game like that every couple of weeks, it's so funny saying the name of that game.
It's a very funny name.
Then I'd be totally into it because there's so many games on PSVR that I've tried that I wish I retroactively could play again.
I really wonder if they're going to go back and like add the move control or a point. What's it called? AIM?
VR
AIM controller, yeah. Like support to stuff like you said, like Rush of Blood.
Yep. I would love that. I think like something like Farpoint, but with like the Aliens franchise would be really cool.
That'd be awesome.
Starship Troopers.
Stuff like that. I would even take a bunch of like old school light gun games. I've been saying that for a while, but I want like.
You could totally see like a House of the Dead.
Point Blank.
Yeah.
With all the little aliens.
Yeah.
I would say that right now, the AIM controller is totally fine to wait on.
Yeah.
Like you said, there are five games that support it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a huge undertaking. If you're fascinated by Farpoint, then sure. If you're on the fence and you just mildly curious, I would say no. It's $80. I mean, it's kind of nice that they did. For a large peripheral, that's fairly cheap. But that said, it's a plastic accessory that may wind up being obsolete.
Interesting thing I saw a couple people talking about in the Facebook group was Farpoint is apparently hard to play if you're left-handed because you can't swap what the analog sticks to. So in theory, your right hand would be controlling your movement.
Ooh.
Your left hand would be controlling camera.
Well, that affects a lot more people than arachnophobics.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. Oh, man.
And it sounds like, because they said even if you like go in, because you can change the bindings of controllers in like the UI, like the PS4 UI. But even if you do that, the game doesn't recognize it. But it sounds like the developers are aware of it and are going to release a patch.
I mean, it asks you at the beginning if you're right or left-handed.
Really?
Which is odd. So I don't know if that's something they patched in or what.
Interesting. But, maybe the patch is already live.
Yeah. I also played this other game. Crap, what's the name of it? I didn't write that down. It's Galaxy. It's the one you sent me that the it's like
Galaxy?
No. Galaxy something.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Should we table this one?
We can go back to that one. It's really cool, though. We'll talk about more VR stuff.
I didn't throw this in here, but I wanted to real quick. Sam Witwer, who is the voice of the main character in Days Gone, the upcoming Sony exclusive from Bend, was on a Twitch stream recently, and he said that Days Gone is going to have a big presence at
E3. Nice.
So, yeah.
I love voice actors. They're the real games journalists.
They're the best.
About it. Breaking those scoops.
Sam's actually a friend of ours, so that's funny. Hi, Sam. You really screwed this one up.
I don't think it's that.
No, it's fine.
I would expect that the games that were on stage last year that aren't, like Death Stranding removed because that's a far away video game. Yeah. But like stuff like God of War, Spider-Man, Days Gone, like I have a feeling we're going to see them again.
Here at IGN, we do a list. It's like a piece every single year. It's kind of a wiki, actually. Every single year of all the games confirmed to be at E3. And it is always way less games than you actually thought going in because like last year, Nintendo was like, Zelda. We're like, oh, that's on the list. Oh, there's only like five other games on the list. It's not very often that a company will confirm that their game will be there. It's a big guessing game. So it's kind of cool that we're going to find out more about this. I'm really interested in the way the world is built and the narrative behind it. I think people were burnt out on zombie stuff. And I think the fact that we saw that trailer twice in one press conference, basically.
Yeah, like open and closed.
Yeah, because I think it was very clear that they had something else they wanted to put there. Yeah. They pulled out at the last minute. So they're like, here's more Days Gone. But yeah, I remain very optimistic about this game.
Somebody asked in the comments a while ago, like, why we're not talking about it more. And it's because there's nothing to talk about yet. They showed us stuff and we said that looks cool. And I think in addition to that, it does look very similar to Last of Us / zombie stuff. And I really want to be excited about it. I want to be interested. What I've seen so far, I think I'm going to jump in there and I'll be like, okay, this is pretty good, but I don't think I'm going to fall in love with it.
It's so cool. I don't know. I like the Pacific Northwest as a setting.
Yeah,
I think that's
too.
Cool. Like if they can nail the story and like Ben's a good developer. Siphon Filter is cool.
Uncharted Vita game's really good.
Yeah.
My favorite parts of The Last of Us were the juxtaposition of like these beautiful sunsets and disgusting monster people.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Like I think that crashing together is really interesting. And I think this game has a chance of doing that. So I'm guessing at E3, we'll find out. We'll see a new trailer. We'll probably go hands-on with it. I'd be surprised if we didn't. And we'll probably find out when it launches, which I hope is this fall.
Cool. Yeah, me too. So we do a thing here at this fine program we do for your ears and eyes, and it's called Rapid Fire. We head over to our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/group/podcastbeyond, and we get questions from you.
Groups.com?
Groups.com/podcastbeyond if you want to, I don't know, pirate our show or something.
It works.
They do there. But we got some questions from you guys. Chris Langen says, aside from charging your various portable devices, how are you guys preparing for E3? I've been gradually getting my eyebrows done.
Ooh, slowly. I've been noticing one pluck a day.
I do about 2 or 3 minutes of eyebrow threading down at the mall.
Like a full Dr. Wiley by the time E3 starts.
E3 for us this year is longer than it's been in the past. Like, we are getting down there, I think, Friday. So, like,
it's a little bit terrifying.
Yeah, we start shooting on Saturday with the EA press conference, and then pretty much it's nonstop until Thursday. So
I get back from a week in Tokyo 5 days before, so I'm going to be prepping E3 by fighting jet lag.
Yeah. Oh, that's not going to be good for business.
I'll hopefully get over it just as I go into that.
Yeah.
It's a weird show to, like, prepare for.
It's hard to, yeah.
We're preparing here by building out our live production and booking guests for our various sets and interviews and showcases that we do all week.
And it's an odd sort of monster because we've got billions of moving parts, a lot of different variables there. And then there's the fact that we're trying to be like, hey, company, what do you bring into E3? And they're like, we're not going to tell you. It's a big surprise. And we're like, now, how do we plan for something we have no idea what it is?
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that comes down to us where it's like, I would love to have I'd love to be doing research on games that
you're going to be doing segments about. Yeah.
I don't necessarily, it's not nailed down yet. So, there's a certain sort of.
You get a lot of like, Brian, you'll be interviewing Sony game number two. And I'm like, oh, I like, love Sony game number two.
This is the sequel. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah. I remember that's what like Andrew and I remember had appointments. The first thing we were going to see, I was seeing Sony game one, he was seeing Sony game two. Yeah. And luckily, my game was God of War, so I was like, all right, that worked out well.
Yeah. What was his?
I think it was Days Gone, so I think he was happy. Oh, was it? Oh, no.
Mark Cerny again.
I don't know.
Heard you didn't like my game.
packing bags is a good part of it. And
we pretty much nice haircut, moved to LA for a week.
Like to bring all my jams and jellies.
Yeah. You bring preservatives.
My various nut butters.
Yeah, that's really the hardest part of E3 is preparing all of the thoughtful gift baskets that we give to our show guests. Yeah. I make a nice just a bunch of seasonal fruits and whatnot.
That's what I like to do. I make jerky at home and I like to dole it out to all the.
Hello, Shigeru Miyamoto. Would you like some of my cured meats?
Really weird.
15,000 fans coming this year, and Max and I are making lollipops for all of them. So, if you see Max, ask him for a sucker.
Don't do that. Now, Joshua Lee says, are you excited for the Friday the 13th game on PS4 this Friday? We are having Adam Sessler on Up at Noon this week to talk about it. He's going to play the game with us a little bit, and we're probably going to kill a teenager.
Yeah, we're gonna address the Sess with a Let's Play of this game.
Address the Sess?
We're going to slice a human child in half, I think is what you have to do. No, really.
We're just going to kill a boy with a canoe.
Somebody tell me you can make a human kebab in this game. Is that you?
It's just cartoonishly violent.
Yeah.
Like, they really did not pull any punches with, like, what Jason Voorhees does.
Yeah, that's what he does.
He is just a real mismanhandler of camping equipment and recreational devices.
Yep. I'm very excited that we get, like, that we're getting a badass new horror game on PS4 this
That's awesome. That's I'm super really stoked cool. about that. So definitely tune in. That's Up at Noon.
That already comes out this Friday.
Are you scared of stuff like this?
No, slasher stuff I'm fine with.
That's so interesting.
You're not afraid of men? I was scared of Jason when I was like a kid, but like I've kind of grown out of it. I mean, maybe if we like go camping, I might be like, ooh, the hatchet man's around the corner. But like Jason Voorhees is too funny. Like I keep thinking of that part.
Jason Voorhees walked up to you with his big, like he's got like cleavers and everything, and then he just puts a tiny spider on your shoulder? Like, no!
I mean, that'd be real weird.
Yeah.
Like a weird thing to do.
Yeah, he's a weird dude, okay? He kills teens. So
I'm probably more scared of that large spider in the Tim Allen movie Jungle to Jungle than I am of Jason Voorhees. But that's because of that. Yeah. Anyway.
That's weird. I didn't realize that comes out Friday. Rhyme also comes out on Friday.
Oh, sweet.
It's this Friday?
Right. Yeah. All right. Nice.
Hachimachi.
Wowzers.
Caramba.
Sam Rada says, do you think Sony crapped the bed with not giving the PS4 Pro 4K Blu-ray support?
I love that phrase.
Crap the bed. Oh, I woke up and there was crap all over the bed. Oh, it'd be like the horse's head in The Godfather, except with fessies.
I don't know if I ever told the story. I'm going to forget it.
What are you doing?
A friend of a friend of mine got really drunk one night, and he went out, and like right before bed, he bought a bunch of candy and didn't realize that he had a Snickers bar in his pocket. And he went to sleep, and he woke up next to this girl, and she rolled over, and she's like, you pooped the bed. And he was like, no, look, it's chocolate.
So did he like eat it to prove that it wasn't gross?
No, that's what they do in Caddyshack.
Then he realized that it was.
I don't think this has really been a factor, honestly. I think that like for certain people, like certain video files, when it comes to things like this, people have been really excited about 4K Blu-ray support on Xbox One S.
It's just really funny that this is Sony's proprietary thing, and that you can't play it on PlayStation, but you can play it on Xbox.
I feel like it would have cost them an extra like $15 a unit, and they were like, nah.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, man, just take the L on that.
Well, I think also I immediately was like, that's a stupid thing to not support. But then I stopped and think about it, and so many people are moving towards streaming, and there's no limit on it streaming 4K stuff aside from your bandwidth. Which
The problem is like 4K streaming has never been as good as just putting in a 4K.
Sure,
like
sure.
It's always a little lossy. Yeah, something like that. So I don't know. And I think for a lot of people who don't have really awesome internet, like it becomes a problem. So.
Yeah,
it kind of sucks. It's not something I think about often, but
you don't have nightmares on it. Nightmares?
I don't know if they crapped the bed on this one.
Yeah,
I would say they peed a little.
They went to bed with some candy bars in there. There we go.
With nougat.
Let's see. Ryan Aimi says, I don't know how to read that name. Do you have any summer travel plans? Do you have any summer travel plans outside of E3 or the myriad other conventions that happen? Brian, you just mentioned you're going to Japan.
Yeah, Tokyo. There's a lot of conventions this summer, so we'll see. If we do Gamescom again, I'll probably stick around for an extra few days and see Europa.
Cool.
Like their various coins.
Europa's, that's actually a moon.
Steal some pounds.
Steal pounds. You just learned about pounds.
What about you boys? You going anywhere? You going to the bar?
I'll be going to a bar. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to Seattle for like 2 days.
Yeah, that's a summer vacation. Oh, yeah.
I need to just do like a vacation.
Oh,
like
the old Wetville.
Let's try to do Portland. Portland's fun as hell. You just did Portland.
Yeah, I did Portland. Yeah,
Portland's a wonderful city.
Yeah, it's a good place to go. It's a
good place to hold hands.
Brittany Hintz, I don't know. It's only 5 months left.
Clearly, it's
Hintz.
Written.
Hintz? I don't know if only there were some tips or tricks.
Hintz is the ketchup.
I don't know. Anyway, it's only 5 months left until Halloween. What horror movie have you recently seen that you would recommend?
Oh.
The Void is a super cool
horror
movie.
Oh, yeah, The Void. Rules.
Highly recommend. Yeah. Very John Carpenter. Awesome practical effects.
I rewatched The Witch the other night, and I put subtitles on because it's a very dense
mumbly vocabulary. Movie, yeah.
So a lot of like, and you don't really know what's
what
going
did that
on
goat there. Just say. Yeah,
I mean, there's a goat that talks. That's cool. Yeah. Spoilers, but yeah, that's a terrifying movie. My wife was like, "Oh, let's watch this movie. That's great," and she fell asleep 4 minutes in. So it was just like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was just like sitting there, like, ah. I couldn't even be like, "Well, that's scary, right?" Right?
What was the goat's name? Daniel? Like Lord Daniel or something?
Was it Black Phillip?
Black Phillip.
Yeah.
That was a mean goat.
That's a good movie.
We watched It Follows recently. It was a very good movie.
I just rewatched something, or I watched something called You Are Not Alone. It's this weird kind of indie horror movie on, I think it was on Amazon or something. And it was very clearly kind of going for a similar sort of It Follows vibe. Mm-hmm. It's interesting because it's told entirely from first person. Mm-hmm. So it's which is very interesting from like a video game perspective. It does a really good job of kind of like making you comfortable with the characters and just being like introducing you to stuff and just really being you, like, it lulls you into being like, oh yeah, everything's cool. Then you're like, oh wait, I'm watching a horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a whole, it's not a great movie, but it does some interesting things. So that's worth checking
out. I saw Alien. That wasn't good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Bums me out.
That's a bummer. I need to go see it. I'm just going to be like trying to appreciate
it. Let's just leave work right now and go see Alien.
I honestly think we should do that.
Yeah. I want to see it again.
Casey Long says, what do you like to do in a video game but hate doing in real life? Mine is looking for lost items.
Murder.
Yeah, murder is a good one.
Looking for lost items. That's interesting. Yeah.
Like errands.
Yeah.
You know, like, these, like, helping out people in town. I don't want to do
that. I
think
listening to people
life.
Talk.
Having, like, full conversations. Walking up to strangers.
If I walked outside and this lady was like, excuse me, can you help me find my pigeons? I'd be like, die, you crazy woman. But in a video game, I'm like, yeah, what do you got for me?
Yeah.
You got some quests.
Climbing? I don't like climbing.
Climbing is very fun in video games. Not something I like to
running.
Do.
Like
I
kind of like running, but I don't really like doing it. It's really just a...
Any game where you roll, like, I don't tumble a lot. Like, I don't do like, rolls. In real life, but I do in like Zelda. I'll do good rolls.
I think I should go out my yard and practice some tactical rolls.
VR is like is the kind of place where I do stuff that I'm not interested in at all. Like, and even in other video games, like in the Batman Arkham game, like there's a lot of like picking up clipboards and turning them and looking at them.
Yeah,
that seems like the most boring thing in the world to do in real life. But like in that game, I'm like, this is really fun.
Yeah, we played that Star Trek VR, and they were like, we've made a perfect spaceship replica, and we're like, wow, pointing fingers. Clapping. No, I mean, to kind of extend on what I was saying with Farpoint, in that something that isn't scary in like a two-dimensional experience is heightened with VR. The same goes with the most mundane details. Sitting in a chair is like a new novelty.
Yeah.
Because you're like, whoa, look at my legs. I can look at my legs in VR. That's exciting. But Yeah, I think the developers need to really keep that in mind, is that something that they completely gloss over because it's like, it's stupid. Who cares? People are going to be like, whoa, you can pick up the flashlight and move it?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And, whereas if someone like went to your house and did that, you'd be like, what's wrong with them?
Yeah. Like I would say,
why does he do that?
With Dick Wilde, I almost like the sort of the hub kind of loading screen area more than I do the actual game.
Yeah.
And the game is like, oh, you're shooting alligators and crocodiles and stuff. But then the loading area is like, yeah, but you can shoot darts at the wall and knock things off of it. And it's just kind of this fun.
I was having so much fun with that. There's like a pickle jar on the wall, and there's like these cabinets you can open with your darts. Like it just really, it felt like being like a kid sitting in like an office and just shooting Nerf guns.
Turn the TV on and off. I kind of just like to shoot Nerf guns and then not have to worry about picking up the darts or losing them or dog eating them or anything. Anyway, that is our show for the day. Thank you all very much for joining us. We have, God, it's going to be very weird over the next few weeks. We are aware that we are rapidly approaching Podcast Beyond episode 500, and we're figuring out what to do with that. We're terrified.
It's episode 500, as well as the 10th anniversary, is coming up soon. Yeah. So we're probably
going to figure out a way to mash those both together, because obviously
or
500
split them in half.
Or split them in half. Yeah, 500 is coming up very soon, and it's obviously not something we expect people to travel for. So we're making that work within the conjunction of the rest of the year and how the big anniversary of Beyond works.
Yep. Yeah.
So there'll be a couple of celebrational shaped things, some that hopefully you can participate in, and some that we're doing without you.
We're trying to align this in a way that makes it easy for people to be at it. So maybe we are doing something at an event. Who knows? We do not, but we are trying to find out.
Also, next week, the show's going to be late because we usually record on Monday and it's Memorial Day.
Yep.
Also, I don't think
or
Brian
early,
and I...
if you listened to last week's show.
Also, I don't think Brian and I are going to be here.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good luck, Max.
All right. Well, I don't know what that's going to be, but okay. I'll figure that out.
Yeah, and little Andy will be back from...
Little Andy will be back from
Andrew.
Japan.
Yeah, but he'll be saying sumimasen.
Japan Drew Goldfarb. All right. And then, of course, be sure to check out our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/IGNBeyond. Go subscribe to that, even if you don't even like care. Just it's like a number that looks good for us. And
it looks great.
We get big bags of gold coins from our bosses. They say, you've been very good. Here you go.
Chocolate coins.
It's a jingle of coins.
Don't fall asleep with those in your pocket, or else the girl's going to think bad things.
What about our other shows, Max? What else
we do? We do Up at Noon. That's every Thursday at noon Pacific time. It's going to get real funny with E3 schedules and conventions and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to Japan for a while, but we've got cool stuff coming up there. That is noon Pacific time on IGN and all the various things. We've said it before. Check out the IGN iOS app, or just the mobile
really good
app. It's very nice. It's a very good way to consume a website. Marty, over on Podcast Unlocked.
Unlocked, yes. We do that every Wednesday afternoon, I believe, it posts on that with McCaffrey and Alana. And
so exciting to be on a podcast about a thing that can play 4K Blu-rays.
It is. That's all we talk about. That's
4K
all
Blu-ray,
we talk.
Blinks the cat. It's crazy.
Yeah it's been real wild. I heard there's Forza.
Quantum Break.
How's the temperature feel about this Scorpio thing? Should we be worried over here on the PlayStation?
No, you look at the specs. It's going to be the most powerful console ever made. But
PlayStation's going to hold people back.
I don't think PlayStation's going to hold people back. I think it doesn't matter how powerful your console is if you don't got the games. So they got to show us the games.
I saw a funny interview today about how they were trying to explain the reasoning that Porsche and Forza have partnered up. And you really think that the reason would be because Forza's a game about cars.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They went on to go on and say other stuff. And I'm like, you really didn't need to do that.
This is a really famous car. This is a big car game.
Mercedes and Mario Kart demanded an explanation.
Yeah.
I got some questions about why you're putting the turtle in this car.
How did the Chicago Bulls get an NBA 2K18? Right. I demand answers. Yeah. Well, they're a basketball team.
Like, those cars that people want to drive are now drivable in a game in which you drive cars.
We share similar philosophies. It's wheels.
You might have been asking, why are you putting cheese on the hamburgers? Well, great news. It turns out that's a thing. It's called a cheeseburger, and it's thrilling.
Investigative journalism.
Yeah.
Major Nelson, damn, another hot scoop. Dunked on him again.
Wow. Anyway, so you can find us all on Twitter. I'm Max Scoville. Brian is Agent Bizzle, and Marty is McBiggity with two G's and two T's.
Mm-mm. Delicious.
Delicious soft egg.
I love those pre-E3 scoops.
Yep. thanks for watching, and that's it. That's the end of the show, and we're done.
Is that how it ends?
That's it. That's the end of it.
You think that's the way it should end right there?
I think it's pretty.
We should retract your baby cakes.
Done.
I don't think your baby cakes anymore.
What if we all say Beyond at the same time? 1, 2, 3.
Beyond.
That was good.
Thank you for joining us. It was a good time.
I think Malcolm's left already. I don't know.
You can take your earphones out now and put something else on.
Yeah.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new. or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.